on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Yabba dabba doo, you're in the clubhouse. It is December 29th, 2012. This is the last show of 2012. Nancy Cross, the tournament director of the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, kicking off the show. And then Jeff Shackelford, contributing writer to Golf World and Golf Digest. We'll talk with him as well. But first, let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, sponsored by Poipu Bay Golf Course. 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. And by Princeville's Prince Course, magnificent by nature. Completely renovated greens, bunkers, and clubhouse. The Prince Course is offering Kama'aina unlimited Saturday and Sunday play for just $99. Call 826-5001. Princeville's Prince Course.
And, of course, the Sony Open in Hawaii on Oahu at Wailea Country Club, the first full-field PGA Tour event. Get your tickets at First Hawaiian Bank, or maybe you can still call them up and see if they need volunteers. Whatever you do, go to the Sony Open in Hawaii at the Wailea Country Club. And if you haven't, you have to make your plans for the 2013 season opening Hyundai Tournament of Champions. It's a great time to visit Maui, watch the top golfers in the world compete, and the field is set for the 2013 Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Joining us, Nancy Cross, Executive Director, Tournament Director, Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Welcome to the show. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Danielle.
Awesome field. Look at this. Ricky Fowler, Dustin Johnson, Matt Kuchar, Bill Haas, Bubba Watson, Keegan Bradley, Ian Poulter, Jason Duffner, Zach Johnson, Hunter Mahan, Brent Snedeker. Wow.
Not bad.
Not bad indeed. This is really exciting. Sometimes you just want to find out. I know we're going to see some stellar golf. The best of the best are playing. What are some of the guys going to do before? I know this weekend they're probably getting in. They want to go out. Maybe they've been in. They've been doing things. What's Ricky Fowler been up to?
Well, he's coming in with his family, so it's great to have Ricky bring his whole family over and show them the beauty of Maui. But I'm sure a lot of them, we've got the Maui gym boat, so a lot of them will be going out fishing. Ted Potter's booked to go fishing. We've got the Kuchars going on a whale watch. I'm sure once they get here, they'll start ringing us up to help them set up with things like that. I know that I believe Jonas Blix is going to try spear fishing.
Awesome.
And so, you know, there's so many great things to do in Hawaii and with the whales all around. You know, perfect time for everybody to go whale watching or fishing. And, you know, thanks to the Maui Gym for letting us use their great boat.
Absolutely. I bet they try paddle boarding and give a shot at surfing and all of those fun activities, right?
Well, definitely. I think a couple years ago, Adam Scott went out with Kelly Slater and went surfing. And, you know, so there's just all kinds of things to do. They also went on the zip line at, you know, Kapalua. So, they're, you know, Hawaii, as you know, Danielle, great place for them to do everything, bring their families. And then, of course, we start with the tournament January 3rd with the Pro-Am and free admission.
Free admission. You know, this is fun because, first of all, the field is small, so you get to get, I mean, you are walking with them, and you can
right.
listen to the chatter, that you know, what's going on. I don't know, the to and back and forth between the guys sometimes. It's
exactly.
just, right? It's very
well, you
personable.
Know, it's not like any other tournament. I say on this tournament with 30 champions, you get a chance to get up close and personal. You can find seats on the bleachers, and in fact, you know, our competition starts Friday through Monday. Tickets are on sale. at pgatour.com/Hyundai and also here on Island. But Friday is our first round, and we'll have the Aloha kickoff about 45 minutes prior to the first tee time, featuring Clifford Na'ole and Pastor Lualena doing a Hawaiian blessing, and then performances by George Kahumoku and Amy Gilliam. So we urge people to get out early on that day and see just a great way to kick off the tournament. You know, we're excited with the production by NBC and the Golf Channel, and they're going to be doing some great stuff on the first tee on Friday and Sunday where they announce all the players, have a video montage that'll be shown on the LED screen. So come on, get your seats at the number one bleacher because it's going to be a great way to start the day.
You know what? The Aloha kickoff, if memory serves me, the first tee time is it 9:30 or 10 o'clock?
Well, Friday through Monday, it's going to be about 10:15 on, Friday through Sunday. And on Monday, the first tee times is about 8:15. And play will be over on Monday, our final round, at about 3 o'clock. So we urge people to come out early. Going to be very exciting. You know, last year, of course, our Steve Stricker, our defending champion. So it'll be exciting to find out who is going to be the first champion of the PGA Tour season. We've got free public parking and shuttles at Hanua Kai at the north end of Kanapali. So, you know, they are coming in early, Danielle. We've already, Bubba's in, Dustin Johnson's in, a lot of them coming in this weekend. So it's going to be a great week.
Oh, it's great. It's a great time to be in on that Kapalua side of Maui. And it's such a wonderful island to travel on.
It's a gorgeous day today, too, Danielle. So keep your fingers crossed for us for great weather all next week, and we're going to rock and roll.
And I'm going to see you there. I'll see you on Saturday in the media center and doing my show from Kapalua. Really looking forward to seeing you, Nancy. Every year it's great to see you. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Sure appreciate it. Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you.
Aloha.
So get out to Maui if you haven't come in. Get in your private jet. I know you've got one. Fly over. Probably have room in that jet for sleeping. No problem. You can see Ricky Fowler, Dustin Johnson, Matt Kuchar, Bill Haas, Keegan Bradley, Bubba Watson, Ian Poulter, Jason Duffner, Zach Johnson, Hunter Mahan, Brant Snedeker, and the defending champion, Steve Stricker, who's only playing 10 events this year. So this is one you'll want to see. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Aloha, this is Brant Snedeker. Join me at the PGA Tour Winners Only event as we compete for the first trophy of the FedEx Cup season at the Hyundai Tournament of Champions.
You're invited to golf's opening drive January 3rd to 7th, where 2012 winners tee it up like Brant, Bubba, Ricky, Dustin, and Steve Stricker. Tickets start at just $15 online at retail locations including the Kapalua Golf Shops, the Honolulu store, select ABC stores on Maui, and select Walmart locations, or by calling 808-665-9160.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
You know, It's difficult when I look at what Jeff Shackelford has accomplished in his short. I mean, he's a young man, a contributing writer to Golf World, contributing editor to Golf Digest, the author of 11 books, including Future of Golf, How Golf Lost Its Way and How to Get It Back, Grounds for Golf, The History and Fundamentals of Golf Course Design. He's taught golf course design at Harvard University Graduate School of Design with noted architect Brian Silva. He co-designed Rustic Canyon Golf Course, a collaboration with Gil Hans. Of course, Hans is the architect doing the 2016 Olympic course in Brazil. His first non-golf book, can't wait to talk about this, his visits with racing legend Zenyatta. Let's say good morning, first of all, before I take up all of this time introducing him. Welcome to the show, Jeff Shackelford.
Thanks, Danielle. Good to be back.
Our annual, we get together on the last show of the year to talk about the top stories of the last year in his mind. And I always enjoy his website. You can find him at jeffshackelford.com. It was voted in 2013. It was created, voted as one of the top internet, the best on the internet by Gary Van Sickle. And then in January, 2 years ago, became a partner website to golfdigest.com. You need to go check him out. He's a lot of fun to read. Should we do a countdown from five to the top?
Oh, I knew you were going to make me actually. No, I'm not that organized at this hour.
Okay. What was your, let's start from the top then. What was your top story?
Well, I'm kind of a my interest is generally sort of the state of the game and issues facing the game. I mean, I love following the great players and the majors and all that, and so the Ryder Cup is up there. But, you know, for me, it's a big deal that we've kind of made a major move here with banning this anchoring of putters, and I don't think it's going to be a small story next year either. I think we're going to see some people battling it. I think there's going to be a lot of controversy around it. And for the most part, I really am for it. But I do understand some of the people arguing the other side of the equation. So I think that's going to continue to be a big story next year. So for me, that was really. But again, I'm into all that kind of wonky state of the game stuff.
I know, and that's why I wanted you to talk about your top. Everybody's top 10 is going to be different, depending on what their interests are. You know, and here's Alex Maselli. I got this this container of Stop the Ban buttons. Alex.
Yeah. Oh boy, he's actually mailing out buttons now. Oh dear, I didn't realize it was getting that serious.
Oh yeah, he's very serious about this. But you know, it's a proposed ban.
Correct.
It doesn't seem to be that proposed. It seems
no. They've decided.
They have, haven't they?
Oh yeah. This is just a process to go through, and I think the thing that's most surprising is that when they do this with other rules issues, they kind of know how everybody feels, and it's just a matter of time before it becomes a rule. In this case, you've got the PGA of America coming out, and they're against it, and the PGA Tour issued a very lukewarm statement of support. So very unusual, because these people do sadly get in a dark room, and it's sort of like a meeting of the five families and the Godfather, and they make these decisions, and it's just as depressing as you'd imagine. It's kind of like a bunch of good old boys, and in this case, clearly they're not all on the same page. So for somebody like me who covers this stuff, it's entertaining to see this kind of conflict, and I think it's great. This sort of discussion of issues is. Super, and as you know, my other big beef is with the distance issue in the game, and what's been so entertaining for me in this is, you know, 10 years ago, I was a lunatic for daring to point this out, and now you have people coming out and saying, well, what are you doing with this anchoring ban when we have much bigger problems in the game, starting with the distance the pros hit it, so... That's been kind of fun for me.
Yeah, well, you think they can really dial back the golf ball?
I do, and I think they're going to. I don't know how. I don't know when, but I do sense that they're really moving in that direction. You see the USGA laying out the case that this is an environmental issue. This is a cost issue. That the imprint or the footprint of the golf course has just gotten way too big, which is what I wrote about in my book. It's almost been a decade, and that's an amazing thing to hear them say that. But it's really, it is true, and the game has gotten too big. You know, it's just too large, the scale of the courses, and some of that needs to change, and the length of the round. All these things are tied to this distance issue.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about golf course design, and you came back with, well, there's not much design going on right now.
Yeah, no, and it's still very stagnant, and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
You don't think smaller courses will start being the push, and you know, they'll start doing that, or are they going to cut down what courses they have, kind of reshape them or replay them?
That would be, I think, in an ideal world, but I'm just not sensing that there is a feeling with people who have money and developers to sort of reimagine the golf course. Either, say, take a really awful 18-hole course and maybe reduce it to 9 holes and develop part of the property, or which I think, you know, one of the things Golf Digest is going to do this year is really make a push that 9 holes is cool. And I've been, you know, ranting and raving about that forever. We need a pro tournament where they play 9-hole matches, and maybe it's a round robin. And it's just quicker. It doesn't take as long. And so, you know, there aren't a lot of people out there, though, who are really thinking this way. And part of it may just be that there isn't the money to finance these kinds of projects. But we need to rethink kind of how long the game takes and what people have time and interest in. And one of those things is about 9 holes is really about what most people like. Unfortunately, that's, you know, when the game started, 18 holes took 2.5-3 hours. So there is a reason. It's not like people are really that different today than they were back then. It's just your attention span can only last so long.
Exactly. So back to the top stories of the year. We have number one, banning anchored putters. We got down to dialing back the ball, the size of the course. Anything else on your top
list? I'm going to put Tiger Woods actually ahead of Roy McIlroy.
Really?
I've been thinking about this when you mentioned the talking stories from this year, and I know it's really easy to say, oh, Rory, you want another major, the emergence of Rory. I'm not as excited still just because he's and there's nothing, I'm not knocking him, but he has won his two majors on courses that were essentially set up like a tour event course. And I still want to see what's going to happen when he has to play real major conditions, firm, fast. And I don't think he'll ever win an Open Championship until he changes his attitude towards links golf. And, you know, Tiger, I feel, is making these kind of gradual steps of improvement. And I don't know. I just have a sense, and getting to be around him a little bit at his tournament in December, that he is continuing to progress. He's never going to be the same player he was. But I do think that he will use his savvy as a veteran and his experience to eke out a win at a major this year. I don't know where it'll be. My guess is Augusta's his best chance. But I do feel like he continues to kind of make his comeback.
He certainly always has the attention on him no matter what.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. And he's a money maker for this game, period.
He is, and he knows that. And that's a lot of pressure, and people always kind of forget that. And that doesn't help, especially as you get a little older and your putting isn't as good. That's one more thing. But I think just as he gets further and further away from his mishap, that the fan support is really been there all along. But it's there more than ever now. And he's almost going to become kind of a sympathetic character, especially if he and Rory develop a little bit of a rivalry, but there are so many other great players. You know, the other story, of course, was the Ryder Cup, which continues to be the best event in golf. So that's in my top five for sure.
Absolutely. Ryder Cup, the collapse of the U.S. Who expected that? Everybody thought for sure we were going to, the U.S. was definitely going to take it. And it's great to see that kind of drama unfold. And watching it was magnificent. There really isn't anything like the Ryder Cup.
It's just another reminder that we need more match play,
mm-hmm.
and you know, team events are still the worst team event in golf is usually more exciting than 99% of the stroke play events, and it was just another reminder of that.
And your fifth top story of the year?
Yeah, I would just go back to the Masters and Bubba winning. It's kind of one of those sad things people forget, you know, because April was so long ago. That was an amazing tournament, amazing final round. Great win by him, and we saw some thrilling shot making. So, you know, that was, to me, the other really great event of the year in golf. And it's kind of funny how that's been forgotten a little bit.
Yeah, it has. And that shot, and the way he handled becoming a major. Most guys are, you know, out there and playing. And he goes, no, I'm going home. I've got more important things to take care of. The anti-major champion.
Yeah, and that was I had mixed feelings on that because, of course, when you have somebody charismatic win, you want them to be out front and you know, on David Letterman and Leno and doing all that. But he had his family thing, and he didn't play the Players and all that. But that was kind of a one-off thing. I don't think that any, you know, that's the next one he wins, it won't be that way at all. It'll be full-fledged Bubba, and some people don't care for him, but most people realize that it's just great to have somebody who's a character.
Yeah, he's wonderful. He's colorful, and he spends time with people. He spends quality time with people.
Yeah, just not the press, but
okay.
He likes everybody else. He's not a big fan of us, I don't think, but hey, that's okay.
Gil Hands, the architect you worked with on Rustic Canyon Golf Course. That 2016 Olympic golf course must have been a huge plum to pick, compared with all the competition and with the little bit of coursework that's available now. Really put him on the forefront. He seems to be a very nice person.
Yeah, it's an exciting thing, and it's kind of an amazing thing. I'm still shocked by it, really, that when you know, going up against Greg Norman and Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah.
That he was able to pull this off, that they didn't go for the celebrity architect. But he made a great presentation, and the kind of values of a golf course that we need to see and set an example with the Olympic course when people are watching. And so it was exciting that they recognized that and rewarded that. Hopefully when things get better, it will portend more work for us and being able to build these kinds of courses that are where the emphasis is on fun and sensible environmental values, not having too much turf or not just having the excess that golf has had for too long that just hasn't served the game well at all.
Let's talk your non-golf book, your first non-golf book.
Oh, boy, I can just hear the radio.
No. Golfers are golfers, but they have other lives too, other interests. You know, it may be football, it could be baseball.
I don't know. Golfers are disappoint me all the time with their lack of interest in other things. It shocks me.
Okay, well, my interest, another interest of mine, is the horse. Okay, and when I came upon I went to your website and I clicked on his latest. His non-golf book, his visits with racing legend Zenyatta. And I clicked on that and I went, wow, beautiful photograph. When did you take up photography?
I've always taken photographs, and it's just always been more of a little bit of a hobby. And in this case, I happened to take my camera along and had the privilege of, through a total accident and stroke of luck, get to go visit her several times when she was really at her prime just a couple of years ago, making a great run, and she was on 60 Minutes and sort of the first great horse to come along in a long time.
A beautiful thoroughbred.
Ah, she's unbelievable.
Just beautiful. And this is 40 pictures. Jeff spent a year capturing, as he put it, the bond with her human family and the visitors to Barn 55. This horse also does charity work.
Well, she's just a totally different horse. You know, people always kind of roll their eyes when they don't know anything about her, and going, you know, what are you all smitten with a horse for? But she was just, first of all, she's massive, just huge horse, beautiful. Her running style was just brutally dramatic. had to the point where it gave us a few near heart attacks because she is a big closer. She comes from way back. But before the race, she put on this amazing show. She about her, starting about her eighth race, she raced 20 times. She started doing some strange things. She would dance before the kind of do this dance move and strut, and she'd look the other horses up and down, and she'd stop and hold her head up real high and look around the paddock, and the crowd would, you know, cheer, and she loved the crowd, and then she'd just turn into a monster, you know, in these races. And then, you know, after the races, she's just this gentle giant. Little kids could be running around and screaming, and she'd just kind of look at them and chew on her grass. And just an amazing amount of charisma and a real character and an amazing athlete. Just so neat to get to be around that. And it was kind of happening at the time Tiger was, his whole scandal was going on. So it was just sort of exciting to be around something so pure, and then they opened up the barn to let people come see her, which is very unusual in horse racing. It's kind of a strange sport; they're not very fan friendly, and so that added to the fun. And I just felt like I had a chance with some nice photos to document this rare moment in the sport's history, and so that's why I did the book.
Excellent, and she actually uses water-based paint with her muzzle to put on canvas.
Yeah, that's something they do with a lot of the horses. They'll put their colors, their owner's colors, on their face, and they'll put it all over a canvas, and they auction it off for charities for retired horses. And so I caught a couple of funny photos of that. I wasn't a real big fan of that, but they've convinced me that it's not unsafe, and it's okay for the horses.
They won't hurt those horses.
I guess not. No. They're pretty tough, although, as you know, they can be also remarkably sensitive to some strange little funguses and diseases and things, and they're amazing animals.
They are, and you're an amazing person. Jeff Shackelford, thank you so much for being on the show.
Okay, Danielle, thanks as always. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
Magnificent by nature, Princeville's Prince Course on Kauai's spectacular North Shore. Renovated greens, bunkers, clubhouse, and more. They're now offering Kama'aina the chance for unlimited play for only $99 for the entire weekend. Golfers, is there a better way to spend Saturday and Sunday? Unlimited play on Kauai's Prince Course with your local ID. It's Kama'aina weekend. That's right. Play 18, 36, or more both Saturday and Sunday for only $99. Call 826-5001 for tee times.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Aloha, this is Bubba Watson, and there's no better place to kick off the season than Kapalua at the PGA Tour's Hyundai Tournament of Champions.
You're invited to golf's opening drive, January 3rd to 7th, where 2012 winners tee it up like Bubba, Keegan, Ricky, Dustin, and Steve Stricker. Tickets start at just $15 online at retail locations including the Kapalua Golf Shops, the Honolulu Store, select ABC stores on Maui, and select Walmart locations, or by calling 808-665-9160.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. Okay, you know that we're taking our qualifiers. So whenever you hear that Hawaiian Airlines jet taking off for points, well, Seattle, Los Angeles, San Jose, San Francisco, and of course, Las Vegas, you could be the ninth caller. And if you're the ninth caller, then you qualify to be in the drawing to spend four nights in the beautiful city of San Francisco after you've flown on Hawaiian Airlines. And you will stay four nights at the Palace Hotel San Francisco, a luxury collection hotel. All right. Now, let's go into the mental game. We've been playing around about what's important in golf and things of that nature, but we really need to find out what we can do to make our game better, enjoy it more, because after all, after a while, your brain just fizzles out on you because you don't seem to be doing anything right. And the more you get fizzled out, the more you make mistakes. I've met David McKenzie. He's been on the show before, a mental game coach with his MA from the University of St. Andrews in Scotland, and currently coaching tournament golfers, amateurs, and PGA professionals on how to play and teach golf through a better mental approach. Welcome to the show, David.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing fine, doing just fine. I'd like to start, before we talk about your new book, because we all want to master the mental game, and I like your approach. You have the top five mental game tips for us going into 2013, don't you?
I do indeed. I just wanted to share a few, simple but effective things that have been overlooked, but it's something that the top players in the world, they're working on these things all the time. It's one of the major differences between the amateur and the best players in the world is their mental management. And it's not that they're born with these skills. They're continually working and practicing these things.
All right. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
So I just wanted to highlight a few of those things for 2013, some things to think about. My essential techniques for improving your mental game, the first one being the shot routine and how you can choose to focus on, you have to choose to focus on process over results. Very simple concept. But what's key to remember is that a good round of golf is a collection of individual shots, executed as best we can. We can't be thinking, a few holes ahead or, a few shots behind. It's all about getting ourselves into the present moment and thinking about exactly what we're trying to do with that particular shot. So how you look and your score, your swing, everything else has to be shut out for that 30 seconds from when it's your turn to when you put that club back in the bag. And so every player, has their own variation on a shot routine, but the main point is that they stick to it with every shot. It gets them, it keeps them very focused, concentrating, very positive. It squeezes out those negative emotions that can have a habit of creeping in just before we're about to take a shot.
It's almost like a meditation. When you go into your pre-shot routine, you put everything out of your mind, and you just go into your routine.
That's exactly right. And the more and more you practice it, the more and more it just becomes part of your subconscious. But the more and more confident that you feel over the ball every time that you've gone through that process. But it's called the shot routine. It's not just about the pre-shot, the preparation. It's about the reaction after the shot as well, and so that you can completely clear your mind, that shot, relax, enjoy the game in between shots, and then get ready to do the whole thing again. I mean, we can't all concentrate for 4 to 5 hours, so what it really serves is just to get you really focusing on that 30 seconds, because at the end of the day, we're only hitting the golf ball for, a fraction of the time that we're on the golf course. And so, there's you've got to be able to switch on and switch off.
Excellent.
So my suggestion for a good pre-shot routine and something to think about, you can have your own variation on this, but the first thing to do is to analyze and choose the right shot to play. Having a good course strategy, knowing where the good miss is definitely something you've got to think about before every shot. And it's not that you're not thinking any positive about the shot. You've got to play the percentages. Even the top players in the world are missing a third of all the greens and a third of all the fairways. So having a conservative aggressive strategy is a key part of that analysis phase of the routine. Then we want to really visualize that shot. The more we can see that shot in our minds, you might have heard quotes from Jack Nicklaus and the likes of Johnny Miller that they saw the ball move through the air, they saw it bounce before they'd played the shot. So really visualizing and seeing that shot shape and focusing on very small targets, the more precise the target, the better. And then the third thing to do would be to feel that shot, have a specific number of practice swings. I say that because, the more meticulous that you can make the routine and the more focused you are on those those positive steps, less chance there is for any kind of net negativity to creep in. So feeling that shot with a specific number of practice swings, getting aligned to the target, you'll see all the players in the world, the top players, making sure that they're well aligned. There's several different ways to do that. Taking a good deep breath and breathing is very key in the shot routine. Center yourself, focus, get rid of any negative tension, and then having a go trigger. You'll have seen some players, with a waggle, looks at the target, whatever it is that you have to do to just keep that momentum going. But tell yourself, we've gone through all those steps. We've done everything as best we can. And if you haven't, never be too afraid to step away, take a step back, go through it all again, make sure you're feeling as positive as possible. And then once you've hit that shot, controlling your reaction. I think we all know how taking a negative reaction, feeling bad about a shot can affect the next one. So have some techniques to control your reaction. And I talk about, ways to do these and to better, put these steps together in my ebook, especially controlling your reaction.
Yeah, and David teaches drills on how to improve the powers of visualization and feel. You can hear that in what he's describing. How to switch on and off on the golf course, and how to come back from the poor shots and scores that you might be posting. I like that. Coming back from those poor shots is so key to be able to then move forward and let that. So many people take the in life something negative and they drag it with them day to day on the course. It's hole to hole.
That's right, and it can be if you can just. But there are methods to do this. That can you can have a go to subject that you think about whenever. You feel like you've just hit a bad shot, you've got another 5 minutes before you hit the next one. Have a go-to place, or just strike up a conversation with your playing partners. Look up into the sky. I mean, some players that I've worked with, have things like, trying to name as many different trees that they can see, or the number of different birds they can hear. Or Tiger had a 10 rule where, allows himself to get upset with that shot, as we've all seen. But then 10 paces after that shot, it's over. We can't do anything about it. It's gone. There's absolutely no point in dwelling any longer than a few seconds. It could be something like just putting your club in your bag, something that just gives you a physical trigger that shot is gone, and it's on with the next.
Excellent. Excellent. The ebook that you have, it's available at golfstateofmind.com/ebook. It's quite as simple as that, isn't it?
That's right.
Okay. Who is this for?
So this is for everyone. This does not matter what your ability is. These are things that you can practice. I mean, that's the beauty of the mental game. It doesn't matter about your athletic ability. Anyone with a brain can get better at this game by the right application. And so the aim of creating this book was to bring together, there's a lot of mental game chatter out there, and I just wanted to bring it together to focus on these things, of these mistakes that we make, and what to do and what to practice in order to get better at doing those. And just generally, this carries on through into life as well, like how you behave and the attitude, the more you can practice these things, the better your attitude can become, not just in golf, but in your own life as well. But, I've just tried to focus on as many practice drills as possible to help you with your mental game.
When you wrote out who the book is for, I couldn't help but go straight to suffer from the yips and can't control your putting and chipping. That comes all of a sudden, we haven't been talking about yips much because we all had the go-to anchored putter, possibly, to use.
Right.
So the yips is so difficult, a subject that's been studied by the Mayo Clinic, by researchers trying to figure it all out. I mean, even surgeons suffer from the yips. It's not just golf specific. But you think through this book you can, and the mental approach, you can actually calm yourself enough to no longer suffer from the yips?
I do. I mean, there's no doubt about it that the yips is a mental issue, and I certainly think that there's ways to prevent that from happening in your golf, in your putting, or chipping, or driving. And I think the process is a key part of that. As I mentioned before, the shot routine and really sticking to a key process, and keeping everything moving as quickly as possible. And moving through these steps positively will certainly help you with things like yips, and I do touch on that in the book.
You know, we're talking with David McKenzie, mental game coach, and he has a new ebook for you, golfstateofmind.com/ebook. golfstateofmind.com/ebook. And for the rest of the year, which isn't very long, it's only $14.95. At the beginning of the year, it'll go up to $29.95. So this is a perfect time to get it. Are you going to make an audiobook out of it also?
Yes, I am indeed. And what I'd like the listener to be able to do is to take these drills, you know, with you to the driving range or the practice area, and, you know, get them in your iPod. It's going to be sectioned out so you can take some putting drills. I mean, as I said before, this book is about drills, and so there's plenty of drills to work on while you practice. Listen to it in the car on the way to the course. Set yourself up for maximizing that time that you spend on the practice area. I mean, so many of us just go, spend an hour at the driving range or on the putting green or the chipping area without a real goal. And first and foremost, I think that you need to spend that time putting pressure on your practice. And the way that you can do that is with scoring games and several other drills to really simulate the golf course as much as you can. So that's a key part of this book is to really give you those drills and those exercises to simulate the course and put pressure on yourself when you practice so that you don't feel there's always consequences to how you're practicing instead of just, reaching for another ball.
Yeah.
And on the golf course, you don't get that luxury.
No.
So, I try to put as many of those drills that create when you practice in
there. Excellent. What struck me, too, when I was reading about your book is, you mentioned that in the last 20 years, and we know that the innovation in the equipment industry has been incredible. We were talking earlier with Jeff Shackelford about the ball flight, the distance, and of course you mentioned the club head, the driver, the bigger, and we have more control with the different hybrid clubs that are available, and yet you say our scores haven't gotten any better.
Yeah, it's really quite fascinating. The average handicap, I still believe, is 16, and so that hasn't fallen in the last 20 years, despite the obvious improvements in golf equipment and teaching and the balls. The game is supposed to be a lot easier, but that hasn't shown it in scores. And so I think one of the key reasons for that is that so much focus has been put on equipment, and you pick up untold books on the technical side of the game, how you can get better by these tips and that tips, and it really just takes focus away from what is really important in the game, which is visualization, feel. Mental management, emotional management on the golf course, and so that's where I think that why we've kind of stagnated in improvement, despite all the wonderful technology and golf and balls and things we have out there today.
Excellent. golfstateofmind.com/ebook. That's where you'll find David McKenzie's, and this has just come out, hasn't it?
That's right. Yes, it's been in the works for a good few months now, and finally put the finishing touches on it. And had several players, ongoing through my teaching, I know these drills work well, and so I'm excited to hear what the public think about it and hear some good stories of improvement.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. It's only $14.95 until the end of the year, and that's David McKenzie's. He's a mental game coach, and you can find his book at golfstateofmind.com/ebook. 20 years of mental game teaching. He brings the core principles and techniques to you in actionable, easy-to-understand lessons. David McKenzie, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much, Danielle.
Okay, you can call me Danny anytime. I prefer.
Okay.
Aloha. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Security business, trust is earned over time.
That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom-and-pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
The big hitters of the PGA Tour hit Wailea for the Sony Open, January 7th through 13th. Come kick off the 2013 Tour with Zach Johnson, Webb Simpson, Bubba Watson, Jim Furyk, and Matt Kuchar. Big names, big stakes, big action. Buy tickets at friendsofhawaii.org or at any First Hawaiian Bank on Oahu. Free parking at Hanukai and Kahala Community Parks. Visit friendsofhawaii.org. Friendsofhawaii.org.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
It's going to be a beautiful day. High surf warning, though, for the north and the west-facing shores of Niihau, Kauai, Oahu, Molokai, and the north-facing shores of Maui, where, of course, the Hyundai Tournament of Champions will get underway this week. And joining us now, did I hear the jet take off? I did. That was Hawaiian Airlines taking off for Los Angeles or Seattle, San Francisco, Las Vegas, San Jose. Yes, indeed. And if you are the ninth caller, you qualify to win our trip to San Francisco on Hawaiian Airlines, four nights at the Palace Hotel San Francisco, a luxury collection hotel. We're getting our final two qualifiers this week. Next week, we'll have the drawing for our first winner, and then we're going to do it all over again. That's right. Two trips for two. Four nights in San Francisco. I want to go. But we can't always get what we want. Let's join now the man, editor and writer for Yahoo Sports, dogschasingcars.com. From Texas, went to school in Arizona, wrote for the Arizona Daily Wildcat covering all sports, caddied for a summer at St. Andrews after college, tried out the Gateway Tour, and now he's a writer. Let's talk and find out why. Good morning, Shane Bacon.
Hey, how are y'all?
Oh, we're doing great. We're doing really good. Got to ask you, what was it like trying out to play on the professional level?
It was humbling. I'll simply say that. I always kind of played at high levels. I guess you could say junior golf and throughout and stuff, and then. Yeah, I mean, I threw my money out there, and I remember the first round I played. I finished first pro round I played. I finished birdie to shoot 68, and I remember putting on the putting green after, just kind of getting some putts, and I was all fired up. You know, I really was kind of proud of myself. And I was playing with some guy, and he kind of goes, yeah, he goes, you know, how'd it go for you? And I said, actually, it went pretty well. You know, I shot 68, and he, I said, how'd you do? He goes, I played all right. And I looked up his name later, and he shot 64. Maybe I'm not on this level right now.
Well, you know, that's what they say. You know, you can be really good at this game, but to play on the professional level, you've got to be better than really good, don't you?
It's crazy how low some of these guys go. You know, I mean, I've played a lot of golf with a lot of really, really talented people. And, you know, I mean, you see guys, even in money games out in Phoenix where I live, you know, you see some guys that you kind of go, you know, what happened? What's the deal? Why are you not playing somewhere? But, I mean, it's just, you know, you got to play well at the right time and have the breaks. And obviously now without Q School, it's going to be even harder for guys that aren't big names or haven't been there before to kind of, you know, make it on the scene.
Absolutely. Well, we're doing our annual, what did you think was the most important story or stories of 2012? And I got to ask you, because everybody's got their own take on this, and that's why I like talking to different people.
If you're talking about the most important thing that happened this past year, I mean, I probably say Tiger winning a few times was probably the most important for the sport, because if he had gone this past year without winning again, I would have really kind of started to think that maybe he'd never, ever get back to where he was. But, I mean, I think Tiger winning three times and kind of being competitive at the end of the year was probably the most important going forward. I mean, I think Rory winning the PGA by 8 shots and kind of getting a second major under his belt just a year after he won that U.S. Open was probably historically the most important. But, you know, those two guys are going to be the top, I think, the leads in any golf story you read anywhere right now, because they're just so much more important to the sport, I think, than any other name.
And when you say more important to the sport, you're talking because they bring attention and help grow the game?
Absolutely. I mean, it's just crazy how you, like, for me, I mean, I can write a story about Tiger and get, you know, thousands of comments from people. I could write a story about even somebody like Webb Simpson, who's obviously a very good player and you know, top 10 or 15 player in the world, and, you know, you get two people talking about it. It's just, you know, it's night and day with those two for some reason. It's just and I don't know, I mean, I think Rory is slowly getting to the Tiger level in the sense of golf interest for fans that aren't huge golf fans, and I think that's really good.
Right, so it brings the people who aren't core golf fans into the, like, you could get on the front page of the newspaper if you're Tiger Woods.
Absolutely.
Right, okay, so that's why, important. And so what is the top story for 2012? Is that's it for you, Tiger Woods?
I think Tiger winning it was the top for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the one that I would go with if I said what am I going to remember the most about this? I think this was just kind of come back to like where he was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay. What about what's next on your list?
I'd probably say Rory. I mean, I'd probably say Rory winning the PGA and kind of the way he ended his season. I mean, I think that, you know, the way he kind of steamrolled through the FedEx Cup after he won that PGA. Granted, he didn't win the FedEx Cup, but, you know, he won twice. He kind of, you know, put himself on a level, I think, that we've all waited for him to be. You know, I mean, I think him winning the major, winning a few more times, and kind of, you know, cementing himself in that number one position in the world. I mean, I don't think there's anybody that's going to argue for the best player in golf right now.
Okay. What about him getting married?
I think the rumors are a little exaggerated. It was kind of funny. We had a pretty good Twitter exchange yesterday. Me and a few of the women golf writers and editors out there to kind of put their points on what they think about it. And I'm kind of on the maybe he shouldn't get married just yet. I mean, he is 23 years old. You know, like somebody said, they haven't hung out longer than 2 weeks in their entire lives. I think maybe a marriage might be a little quick for them.
That was Stina Sternberg from Golf Digest. Yes, I couldn't help but agree with her.
I was the same way, 100%. I mean, I'm 29. It's not like I'm some age vet, but, you know, I definitely think that, you know, for professional athletes, maybe they can hold off a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. He's only 23 years old. Yeah, well, you know, there's the heart and there's the desire, and sometimes they're not going to listen to us.
Exactly right. And they probably shouldn't, to be honest.
And they probably shouldn't. Okay, besides Tiger and Rory, any other important thing that happened in golf for you?
Well, I mean, I think the Ryder Cup was, I do think that the Ryder Cup interest is going to lag if the Europeans keep winning. But I think that Sunday, I mean, if you like golf, no matter what country you live in, I mean, I think that was really, really exciting and crazy to watch that whole thing unfold. I mean,
it's great.
I mean, obviously, I was in ninth grade, you know, when the whole miracle happened here for the United States. So, you know, to see it happen kind of and unfold and the team start making putts and this thing happened and this thing happened. Because literally, I mean, almost everything has to happen perfectly for a team to come back in that spot. And I think that was pretty awesome to watch. Granted, I mean, I would have, you know, internally as a fan, I mean, I'm obviously going to be rooting for the Americans, but I mean, as a golf writer and somebody that tries to draw up interest in the sport, I mean, that was awesome. And you couldn't ask for anything better. And I think the whole way it finished, even with Martin Keimer kind of being the guy to win it, I mean, I think we'll see him actually come out with a little bit more confidence this season because of that.
You wrote a story about Martin Keimer. He said the Ryder Cup putt could have wrecked his career. That was the lead.
Absolutely. I mean, he said it. He said, you know, if I don't step up in that spot, I mean, there were talks of him giving up his spot on the Ryder Cup team to somebody that was playing better. I mean, you know, he was really the big question mark of everybody on both teams kind of coming in. So for him to be the guy to really make the putt to win, I thought was really big for him and his career. I mean, this guy was number one in the world at one point, and now, I mean, you know, to even be questioned and say, hey, maybe you shouldn't even be playing, even though he earned a spot, was a, you know, I mean, that's a pretty big confidence drill there, you know. I mean, you're really saying a lot of things about the guy. So for him to do that, I think was pretty important. I think he saw that. That's why I think he said that it could have really ruined his career.
Yeah, destroyed his confidence in himself. Absolutely. I can see that. I'm wondering, the declining number of golfers and the declining number of golf courses, it's like it's equal to the declining number of sports writers or golf writers. what can we do about that?
You know, my biggest thing that I hear from people that don't play a lot, and even myself, I mean, I love playing golf. I mean, you know, it's funny because, I mean, I know that I do this for a living and stuff, but, like, my sister's visiting me in Arizona right now, and I got a golf club sent to me from a company the other day to kind of test out, and I was really excited about it. And she's like, how can you still be excited about this stuff? You know, you get stuff all the time. And I love golf. I watch golf. I mean, I'm watching these replays on Golf Channel of tournaments that I've already seen or actually been at.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it really is my life, but I do even see myself playing 18 holes and going, golly, this is going to take 5 hours. You know, this is an enormous time commitment. And I think that Bandon Dunes is kind of leading the charge on this. Maybe we should make golf courses that are 13 holes or 14 holes because, you know, 3 hours of your life is a lot different than spending 5 hours doing something. I mean, that's why movies aren't 5 hours. You know, you can't go. It is, I mean, you're talking about a big portion of your day. And I think that if we made, I mean, 9 holes isn't enough, but 18 holes does seem like it takes a really long time. And I think if we made a kind of an in-between there, people would be a little bit more interested in going out and kind of, you know, spending a little portion of their day doing it.
Mm. Well, that seems to be the movement, but getting golf course management teams to set up a course that way. And they've all been, you know, you go out 9, you come back in 9. It's a challenge for the superintendents to figure out a way to move people in a different way through those different whole scenarios.
And I agree with you. And I mean, I definitely think it's going to be something that it's going to take, you know, probably a decade to really get people on board or actually starting to do it. But I mean, I do think that's the number one complaint I hear from people, even people that play a lot of golf, is that it just takes a long, long time. And I mean, we are obviously a different generation now than we were 30 years ago. I mean, you know, I read articles that are 2,000 words, and I kind of almost have to take a break. You know, we want stuff so quick and so fast, and we want to see it and be done with it and know what's happening. So I think that'll be something that I think will slowly bring people in more because they won't have to spend a whole bunch of their life out there on the golf course.
We're talking with Shane Bacon. He's editor and writer, Yahoo Sports. And it's, in fact, Devil Ball, right?
Devil Ball.
Devil Ball. Is that just golf or all sports with a ball? That's called Devil Ball.
Devil Ball is just golf. But, yeah, they created all of them. They kind of come up with some different kind of internal names. I mean, the basketball one is Balls Don't Lie, and the tennis one is Bust Bracket, which I'm also editing. And, you know, they all kind of had to come up with a little bit of something that the insiders would actually get. So that's kind of where Devil Ball came from.
Oh, I love it. Devil Ball speaks volumes for golf, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Bud Cauley, you wrote another article. What to expect of Bud Cauley in 2013?
Well, we were kind of, me and a couple of the golf guys were batting around some of the people to do kind of a top 10 list kind of leading up to the tournament out in your area on the 4th. And, you know, we had a whole bunch of the big names, too, Dustin Johnson and Bubba, and the guys that kind of, you know, you think about when you're thinking about guys that are going to maybe win a major this year.
Hyundai
like
Tournament of Champions, yes.
Yeah, exactly, there you go. But I like Bud Cauley. I mean, I like the young American, you know, kind of coming into his own. I think that he maybe, had an almost a disappointing rookie season because people thought he might come in and win a few times and everything like that. But I see him actually taking a step this year and seeing the 20-year-old, you know, American that's going to kind of compete with some of the younger Europeans and, you know, in Asian players that have obviously come in as teenagers have been successful.
So, well, you know, Ricky Fowler had the same thing that we're putting on Bud Cauley. You know, everybody wanted Ricky Fowler to come in there and win, right? he's going to win. Finally, he does. So don't you think we have the expectations we have on these college kids that come in and come onto the tour, that we expect them to win so quick? Is that another thing about that, our short attention span?
Well, I think we're always looking for something to, like, you know, what's the next big thing? I mean, it's crazy. We have, you know, Rory is, I mean, we'd be 23 or 24, and we're already kind of looking for what's the next thing. It's pretty funny, but, you know, I mean, Ricky was, you know, he came on the scene and got in a playoff in, like, his second professional tournament on the PGA Tour. I mean, it's crazy how, if he'd have won that tournament, who knows how quickly he would have won again and again. And, I mean, of course, it took him, like, two full seasons and a little bit more to actually win his first tournament. But, yeah, I mean, we definitely do look for the next big player. I mean, every year we're looking for somebody, something. I mean, when Johnny Vegas won early in his rookie campaign, we kind of went, is this the next American that's going to be crazy, but or the next PGA Tour player that's going to do big things? But I do think Bud Cauley has a lot of the small things you need to win multiple times on tour as a young player.
Excellent. It's always fun talking to you, Shane Bacon. Your experience in the game and your youth. So are you doing CBS still?
No, I left CBS to do this full-time thing with Yahoo. So
excellent.
Yahoo is my gig. Yep.
Excellent. I'm so glad because I really like your work. And you know that mankini that guy was wearing? That,
yeah.
Yeah, that should be like banned from the planet.
If you haven't seen it, go to our website and check out the picture that'll haunt your dreams.
Yes, this is Yahoo Sports. Go to Devil Ball, okay, or just search Shane Bacon, and you'll find the mankini from Australia, the picture you'll never want to see again. Shane, thanks for being on the show, and much success in 2013.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Aloha. Let me just say real quick here now. We are KPUA, Hilo, KGU, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo, and Eli Waipahu. You are the second to last finalist qualifier in this particular drawing for the trip to San Francisco. Four nights in San Francisco. You will fly on Hawaiian Airlines. You will stay in the Palace Hotel San Francisco, a luxury collection hotel. Mm-mm-mm. Let's go straight to New York City. What do you say? Let's just go straight to... That's where I want to go. I wanted to go to New York City in the fall. And then this hurricane came along and dashed my dreams of taking the trip. Ashley Mayo, Associate Editor, Golf Digest Magazine, Columbia's Graduate School of Journalism graduate, picked up a club in the ninth grade, competed with her twin sister, and then played on the University of Virginia golf team. Welcome to the show, Ashley.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
And I don't know why you want to be in New York right now. It's snowing.
Because I did my show, not this golf show, but a morning drive show Monday through Friday. I was born in New York. I was born on Manhattan.
Oh.
Yes, I was born.
Me too. So was
yes,
I.
Yes, we're kindred spirits in that way. And
yes.
I spent a week in New York. I interviewed the mayor and all these people, and I just had a blast. I had a great time. I felt alive, regenerated. And it was in December. December in New York is magical, which is why.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and it's why the hotel rates go up to like $500 a night, right?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I wouldn't know. Luckily, fortunately, since I've lived here my whole life, or basically for essentially my whole life, I've never stayed in a hotel room in New York City. So I've always had an apartment. But
yeah.
I can imagine that it goes through the roof because you're right. It just is magical. The holidays in New York City, there's no better place to be.
Now,
so.
How cold does it have to be for you not to play golf?
Oh, gosh, when I played at UVA, University of Virginia, we played when they were still on the ground. You know, you just put your gloves on, put three layers on your pants, three layers of pants, and then, you know, five on top, and just tough it out. The course has to be closed, essentially, but if I was invited to play, or if I wanted to play, I could play when it's in the 30s.
Wow. So, my cheeks are cold.
Yes. That's where mask. You got to bring a mask out there, at least a scarf.
It's like skiing, only you're just walking around and playing golf. And, yeah, why not?
Yeah, you have to kind of shorten your swing, you know, make some accommodations, but it's still a lot of fun.
Okay, so you started it in ninth grade, and you played on a college golf team. Why didn't you think of turning pro?
You know, the thought crossed my mind in my second year of college, perhaps for a season. But ultimately, I decided that I love golf because I love to play, and it's fun, and I love the competition. But as soon as you put money on the line or even the competitiveness that you find and encounter in collegiate golf, it becomes an entirely different game. And people who have played in tournaments and who have played for money will tell you this without skipping a heartbeat, because it becomes almost work. And whether you enjoy that or not is the ultimate question. So I decided that my passion for golf led me to Golf Digest. And using golf in the way that I do it now, for me, is much more enjoyable than playing professionally.
You have to be a killer to play competitive golf.
Yeah. And it's such a grind. If, you know, there's such a fine line between making it and living comfortably and enjoying what you do, between that and struggling and just kind of living paycheck to paycheck. It is a grind. And people don't realize that, because all the golfers they see on TV have made it.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't realize that there are, for every one of those that they see on TV, you know, 50 or 100 others, you know, who are just grinding it out every day.
Driving from place to place and hoping to find a place to stay and wondering when, how am I going to repair a club that's broken? They don't get shipped.
They're not shipped
in and fixed for them, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And some of my teammates did attempt to turn pro, and, you know, they were living out of their car. Literally, there was a rod in their back seat where they would hang their clothes because they would just live out of their car and go from tournament to tournament.
Tournament to tournament. That's tough. That's a tough life.
For some people, that's what they love. That's thrilling for them. But I decided that it was not for me.
I'm sorry. I want to know, when did you decide you wanted to be a journalist? When did writing become important to you?
Yeah, you know what? I started my first 2 years in college. I was pre-med. I thought I was going to be a doctor. That's why I majored in biology, ultimately double majored in biology and English, but English came later. I took my first media studies course at the University of Virginia in the beginning of my junior year, and I absolutely loved it. And I was like, I enjoy this so much more than biochemistry and molecular biology. you know, I did well in those classes, but I did not enjoy them. So I completed my English major in just 3 semesters and was lucky enough to start working a week after graduating.
Wow. We have so much in common, and I'll tell you why I say that at some other time when we're not. I love your quote, though. If I'm not a little scared out of my comfort zone once every couple of weeks, then I'm not working hard enough. That's the Mayo theory.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah. You know, you just always have to push yourself, and that's why after a couple years of working, I went back to school, to Columbia, to get my master's, and being a part-time student was a grind when you have a full-time job. You know, you just don't have a social life. And for me, that's totally okay. I'd rather be working hard. And so I do fully believe in that theory, that you just kind of have to push yourself and experiment and try new things often.
Now, what is your to you, what was the most important story of 2012?
The most important golf story of 2012. You know what? Golf World came out with their Newsmakers of the Year, and I can't disagree with the crash landings as their top news story, because I feel like being able to finish strong is the hardest thing about golf. It's hands down the hardest thing about golf, especially and only if there is something on the line, like if you're playing in a tournament, if you're playing in college, or if you're playing for money. And, you know, only people who play in tournaments can understand. It's kind of a rush, and it's a thrill to be able to keep your heart rate in check while everything's on the line. Everything rests on the last few shots that you take. Knowing that you never have full control over the shot because there's wind, there are so many elements that can affect even the most perfect putting stroke or golf swing or kind of contact that you make. So knowing that, but still being able to control yourself and, you know, like I said, keep your heart rate in check is just a thrill. So, you know, the crash, the collapses that we saw in 2012 were just epic.
They were.
I mean, yeah, and so frequent that,
yes.
You know, that really, it's fascinating. It's fascinating to see whether someone can close. And we saw that players on the top tier players, you know,
can't.
On the greatest stage, some of them can't. And that's, and like I said, it literally is the most, it's the hardest thing about golf. So to see that multiple times this season was fascinating.
Yeah, I couldn't help but when I was watching, because I, you know, usually watch on television, I'm not there, I'm going, not again.
Right. I know, and their heart goes out to them. But you
yeah.
know what? Anyone who says that they never want to see that is lying, because, you know, that's the beauty of sports in general and golf as well. You know, it's unpredictable. It's unscripted. Anything can happen. You want to see that rawness and that emotion and, you know, just being able to close it out, especially in golf, is so tough, so tough.
Ashley Mayo, the associate editor, Golf Digest Magazine. A real pleasure to meet you. I hope you'll be on the show, and we'll talk some
yeah.
tournaments as they're happening.
Yeah, I would love to be on the show more often.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. So good to meet you, and have a great
Likewise.
2013.
Likewise, Danielle. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
Magnificent by nature, Princeville's Prince Course on Kauai's spectacular North Shore. Renovated greens, bunkers, clubhouse, and more. They're now offering Kama'aina the chance for unlimited play for only $99 for the entire weekend. Golfers, is there a better way to spend Saturday and Sunday? Unlimited play on Kauai's Prince Course with your local ID. It's Kama'aina weekend. That's right. Play 18, 36, or more both Saturday and Sunday for only $99. Call 826-5001 for tee times.
AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Aloha, this is Zach Johnson. There's no better place to kick off the PGA Tour season than at the Hyundai Tournament of Champions.
You're invited to golf's opening drive January 3rd to 7th, where 2012 winners tee it up like Zach, Bubba, Ricky, Dustin, and Steve Stricker. Tickets start at just $15 online at retail locations, including the Kapalua Golf Shops, the Honolulu Store, select ABC stores on Maui, and select Walmart locations, or by calling 808-665-9160.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. I just want to thank Tony for letting me know via Twitter that the stream is very choppy, to say the least, putting it, I just quoted him. And we thought we had the software issue that was causing that repaired. Apparently not. We'll continue to work on it. And the show I post for you to listen to post-show will be clean because I have a backup. You know, one has to have a backup to the backup to the backup. That's something one learns in life. All right, let's get to it. My friend, Tony Dear, I met him in California, in San Diego, former senior editor on Today's Golfer in England and a former golf correspondent of the New York Sun, and now writes for a half dozen publications on both sides of the pond as a freelancer. I'm going to start going into English. I'm sorry. Okay, Ellie of Waipahu is our most recent qualifier, and the phones are still ringing. I think we've got the qualifier. We'll let you know who that is, but let's bring Tony Dear in. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Danielle. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Author of Every Golf Question You Ever Wanted Answered. I want to get your book. I found it on Amazon. It's available. The Golfer's Handbook, 101 Golden Rules of Golf, Tips, Wit, and Wisdom to Amuse and Entertain. It's another one I want. How much time did you spend writing these, and when in your very young life did you find the time to do this?
Thank you for saying very young, Danielle. We both know that's not true. The first book I wrote actually was about 15 years ago, and we got a call. I was in the office at Four magazine in England, and the publishing company actually called for somebody else, one of my colleagues in the office, and they were out to lunch. And I took the call, and they said, "Well, actually, could you write it?" And I said, "Well, okay, how long do I have?" And they said, 4 weeks. And I thought, 4 weeks to write a book. I've never written a book before, but 4 weeks seems a little less than I would have expected, but I'll try it anyway. So that was a weird experience, to say the least.
Which book was that?
That was HarperCollins, I'm sure you're aware of, in Britain, they did a series called Collins Gems, and they were little tiny books that you could put in your pocket, and they were just information guides.
But you know what that tells you? You never know when the phone rings.
No, you don't.
You know, something wonderful
absolutely
could happen.
Yeah.
It'd change your life.
Very true.
So,
very true.
Yes. Okay. So every golf question you ever wanted answered. I mean, how long did you research that?
That was strange because that came at the exact time that I was emigrating to the States. Now I've been in the States for 11 years now, and that was written at the time that my wife and I were going through the process of moving. And that one, originally they gave me a year to do it. And then about 6 or 7 months into the process, I get a call from the publishers saying, "Oh, sorry, we need it in 2 weeks' time."
Ooh.
So you better hurry up.
If you were a procrastinator, you would have been in a lot of trouble.
Well, I think I was originally, and I think it wouldn't have taken a year. Originally, but I was getting quite slow because I was obviously helping out with emigrating to the States, which takes up a lot of your time.
Right.
But when I got that call, it certainly put me into action fast. But that's working for publishers. If you don't publish your own book, and you're working for a publishing company, you are their pawn, and you do what they want, you do what they say, and that's how it is.
That's it. That's it. They're the boss.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the Golfer's Handbook, the Golden Rules, the Tips, Wit, and Wisdom to Amuse and Entertain.
Yeah, that was a fun one. That actually came on the back of a publishing company in Brighton, which is about an hour south of London. They had published a book, a similar book on fishing, and that had done very well. And it was brilliantly written. And so obviously they came to me to do the golf equivalent of the fishing book. And it was, it sounds more grandiose than it really is. I mean, it's just, it's not 101 tips on how to play better golf, certainly. It's just 101 observations from years in golf, and it was fun to write, and it's, hopefully it's a fun read.
Oh, no, you know, I understand that you can, it sounds exactly what I would want it to be. Just little snippets. You know, I was talking to Shane Bacon just a couple minutes ago.
Yeah.
And he said people, you know, can't read long things anymore.
No, that's the number of people that want to do that is getting fewer and fewer.
Right,
but...
right. And so you said, you know, you read a couple of pages, and if you get a tip or something that gives you a smile, a little wisdom to amuse you, you know, it's kind of fun. It sends you off in the day with a little thought, a little smile on your face. And that's nice. Yes, that's
very
nice.
True.
So let's look back on 2012. This is the end, the last show of 2012. And kind of like to do that from your perspective. I'm not looking for you to agree with anybody. You know, I want you to come completely off the reservation.
Okay.
Your top story for 2012.
Well, I'm European, Danielle, so there could only be one thing. That was the Ryder Cup.
The Ryder Cup, of course, yes. And who was your star?
Well, Poulter, of course, but so many beyond him. I mean, for Martin Keimer to hold that putt, you know, after he's had such a dodgy year, I think was a big deal for him. And we'll see. You never can predict, you know, what one putt is going to do, but that could be a big deal for Martin Keimer. But my absolute, my moment, my snippet, my 2 or 3 seconds of the year was definitely when the camera panned to Jose Maria Arrizabal, and he looked up to the heavens and started crying. That, you know, as a European, you knew exactly what he was doing. You knew exactly what was going on in his heart, and you knew exactly who he was looking to in the sky, and it was just a very poignant moment. It's interesting. The Ryder Cup is very interesting from a European perspective, because if you go back to the the 60s and 70s, I wasn't around the 60s, but I can imagine, you know, GB and Ireland being beaten so often. You know, it must have been so demoralizing. And then in the late 70s, when the Europeans come along with Seve, there's a huge gap between the two continents. And Seve has really got it in his head and his heart that, you know, he wants nothing more in his life. He wants nothing more in life than to beat the Americans. And that, you know, that manifested itself a lot of times during his career. You know, where he had problems with Dean Beeman, and in the press he was called Steve, and various other things, and it just added to his resolve to beat the Americans. And so every time the Ryder, you know, 85, I remember 85 was the first Ryder Cup I watched on TV, and I remember Seve's reaction, you know, saying after the victory, saying that it was like winning another British Open.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, his passion for it stuck with him throughout his entire career, and he was able to throw it off onto his teammates and to get them as riled and as angry, if you like, as he was. And so, you know, I'm convinced that European Ryder Cup success for the last 20 years basically boils down to Seve's influence and what he was able to draw out of his teammates. I mean, if you remember, 95 was it at Oak Hill, when he played with David Guilford. Now, David Guilford was the sort of guy, you know, that would have been embarrassed telling his mother under his breath that he was quite a good golfer. But Seve managed to convince him that he was the best player in the world when, you know, that basically wasn't true. And just to get amazing performance out of him. And that occurred time and time again throughout, you know, the late 80s, the 90s, and the early 2000s. Because of, you know, the European players' desire to play for Seve, play with Seve, and play for Seve. And that, the first time, 2010, you know, Celtic Man in 2010, he was on the phone with the players, and he managed to get the best out of them there again. 2012 was the first time he wasn't around, but obviously the influence, Seve's influence, was still very great with the picture of him on their sleeve, on their, sort of their sweaters, and on their bags. And I think, you know, the Seve's influence will remain for a few Ryder Cups yet, because there's still a number of players, Lee Westwood, Ian Poulter, you know, who grew up idolizing Seve. And as Europeans, you know, we want to make Seve feel good. wherever he is now, we want him to feel good.
We want him to be proud.
Carry on for who knows, 10, 20 years until players, you know, come along. Even Rory McIlroy and Luke Donald, they knew who Seve was. And it'll be the next generation, or the kids that don't really have any idea who Seve was, or, you know, can only read about him in books, that don't get fired up about the Ryder Cup in the same way that Seve did, and he was able to, you know, do that for his teammates.
Oh, it's interesting in a sport where we're always taught to forget forget that bad thing that happened, that Seve was able to take all of that, you know, that animus that he felt that was directed toward him, and to be able to capture that and then to master it and then throw it back out. That's an amazing power to have. Most people, it would destroy them, but he was able to make it work for him.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
If you can imagine, yeah, but back when he started in the mid-70s, late-70s, the gap between the U.S. and European golf was so profound. I mean, it was just huge. I mean, there was no comparison. And Seve took upon himself, you know, to bridge the gap, and it was pretty much a one-man show for the longest time. I mean, Bernard Langer was, you know, came along with Seve, and was a great golfer, obviously, but he didn't nearly, you know, draw the crowds or draw the attention or inspire other players as Seve had done.
So even with all the success that you've had recently, the European teams have had, you're still working off of the pretext that we're losing, we've lost from the 60s,
well,
right?
I think that's a very significant factor.
Yeah.
I always liken it to my soccer team in Britain is Southampton, which just returned to the English Premier League this season after about 10 years in the lower league.
Relegated. Yeah,
we were. And we were horrible for 10 years, and we'd come back. And being a Southampton fan, I've been a Southampton fan since I was 4 years old. And so, and, you know, 37 years later, I have grown used to expecting defeat. You know, it's we've always been a team that has managed to class or snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. every time I watch them, I always fear the worst. I mean, I love them to death. They're my team. They always will be. But I expect them to lose every time. And that's no fun for a fan. and I've always felt the same way about the European Ryder Cup team. Every time we start, I wonder, oh, is this going to be the time when reality sets in and we go down?
Even though you've been winning.
It's still kind of weird.
It is strange. We have only 20 seconds left. Isn't it, you know, 15 minutes just bam, bam, bam. It goes way too fast.
I know.
We didn't even get to talk about our time over at the Grand Del Mar.
Wasn't that fabulous?
Oh, it was amazing. And Sean Cox and all the guys over there that helped us with our game. Amazing. We have to do this again. You'll join me again, won't you?
It would be a massive pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely a pleasure having you on the show. And congratulations, Eric of Honolulu. This round, we've got our qualifiers for our 4 days in San Francisco at the Palace Hotel, a luxury collection hotel. You will be flying aboard Hawaiian Airlines if your name is chosen, and will announce that winner this coming week, first week in at the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, one of our sponsors. And I want to thank the Sony Open in Hawaii. They'll be kicking off the next event, the full field event, with the Acura Hawaii Pro Junior Skills Challenge. And that's on January 8th at 2:45 on the 18th green at Wailea Country Club. That's the Acura Hawaii Pro Junior Skills Challenge kicking off Sony Open in Hawaii. Thank you to all of our sponsors, including, of course, Poipu Bay, the most magnificent course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning, a unique and unforgettable golfing experience. It's Poipu Bay Golf Course. Princeville's Prince Course on the North Shore, magnificent course, completely renovated greens, and they've got this great deal, $99, unlimited play for Kama'aina. Numbers 826-5001. Get your guys together and go play, gals together. You know what I mean? Princeville's Prince Course, and Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment for protection for your home, your business, your concert, your special event. It's Star Protection. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time.
Been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2012.